Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Good morning, One Church. It's great to see you today. Let me take you straight to a passage of scripture in Nehemiah. And we're going to start in Nehemiah chapter 7 and the final verse, verse 73. It says this: "When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men and women and others who could understand, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, 'Amen, Amen.' Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep.' For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, 'Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" So here we have Ezra and Nehemiah joining together as they're building the wall of Jerusalem. And they gather everybody together. And Ezra, who's found the book of the law, they've found the scripture, the word. And Ezra is charged to read the word, to read the book of the law to the people. The people have been busy, but now they're taking time to gather around the word. This is what we're doing right now. Just stopping our busy worlds, just stopping long enough to hear from the book of the law, from the word of God, from the scriptures. Maybe God wants to speak into your life, in your home, as you sit on your settee right now. Here's the key. Line yourself up with God's word, never the other way around. Many times we try and pick out verses that try and help us and give us some kind of like a bit of a jolt or a little bit of a sugar coating. But the truth is, if you choose to line up yourself with the word of God, then you will find that you're on a path and your compass is pointing true and pointing to God. We see in verse 1, they join together in unity. What a great teaching that would be, unity. We see in verse 2, they gathered as families. It says, just men, women, and all who understand. Those who are old enough to understand were gathered together. In verse 6, they praised and worshipped. This was church. This was church gathering together. And it was a marathon. Verse 3, it tells us they started at daybreak and all the way to noon. And they listened to the word of God. Now, Nehemiah, we pick up in verse 10, something changed. He said, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Sometimes the word soothes and comforts. Sometimes the word cuts like a knife. Both these things are really important. Both of these things that are time, the same book of the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, can be like a knife in the surgeon's hand, and it cuts deep. Why? Not because God is trying to hurt us, but he's trying to remove things from our life that are unhelpful and harmful. The first Bible my dad ever gave to me, he wrote in the cover, he says, "This book will keep you from sin." And then underneath it said, "Sin, however, will keep you from this book." Isn't that true? Isn't that true? The more you press into the Word, it exposes sin in your life and protects you from sin. It both cuts and soothes. The closer you are to God, there's a greater sensitivity to sin. That's why one person can wrestle with their conscience and the other person seems to be doing fine. Stop comparing your activity to someone else. You don't say, if that person can do it, I can do it. You don't line yourself up with other people's actions. Line yourself up with the Word of God. God loves you so much, he wants to invest in you personally. The Bible will help you in your spiritual health. It may start with mourning, as it did with these people, but it turns to joy. It should always turn to joy. Now, I don't have a lot of experience in childbirth. I was there when both Jack and Abby were born, but my input into that whole experience was purely cheerleader. Mostly cheerleader. I held hands and rubbed the back at the appropriate moment. But, oh, that was such a painful experience. But at the end of it, oh, all that pain seemed to be forgotten in seconds when this wonderful life appeared, when our son and our daughter appeared, and we're holding this new life. The joy that came into our world just in that experience. And we couldn't hide it. We cried, we laughed, we cuddled those children. And there was something dear and wonderful. The joy was expressed. It filled the room. The intensity of minutes before, as we were getting to the climax of that birth, and that room was so tense, suddenly released with this bubbles and bubbles and champagne moment of joy. How many times have you been waiting for someone at the airport and you've seen someone run across as they've come out the airport and the family have greeted them and the hugs, the joy that's expressed? If you're feeling low, we'll have to wait for another time for this to happen, but just go to an airport and just watch that. It just fills you with joy, puts a smile on your face. I remember when Ali graduated with her degree. And she took her degree later in life. And Jack and I went to the presentation where she was receiving her certificate. And we sat in that hall and there was hundreds of us. And Ali was waiting in the wings to come forward. And they made it very, very clear. No clapping, please. No cheering. Right, we're going to do it all at the end. And a very, very serious and very, very decorum, please. We need that. We need to be very British right now. Jack and I looked at each other and they started the presentation and everybody was really, really quiet and just politely allowing this to go on. And then suddenly they announced, "Mrs. Alison Jarvis." Jack and I looked at each other. We weren't holding it in. We just cheered at the top of our voice. I leapt to my feet and clapped and cheered. Woo, 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 woo. The whole room looked at us, then looked at her. Ali just did that. Oh. But we weren't going to hold it in. And she'd worked so hard for that. She's got a first class honours degree in psychology. We weren't going to sit there and just allow that pass. We wanted her to know that we were proud of her and our hearts were filled with joy. It's funny. After that, everybody got cheering, everybody got clapping, and it took us about 4 hours to get through the ceremony. Whatever. Joy, it bubbles up and it cannot be contained. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. A Spirit-filled life produces joy. Fruit of the Spirit isn't produced through straining, but through remaining. You'd never see a fruit tree straining to produce fruit. It is just rooted into the nutrients that flow up through the roots into the branches and out into the tree. The fruit is produced because it remains, not because it strains. You don't have to strain for joy. You just remain in Him and the joy will come out. Remain in Him and the fruit will be produced. Jesus taught this. He said, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. It sounds like, oh, it's like a big wish list. You can have whatever you want. No, of course not. If you remain in and connected to the branch, right, you can produce only the fruit of that vine. A vine cannot produce bananas. So if you remain in Him, you can only produce His fruit. And as we found out, one of the fruit that gets produced by remaining in Him is joy. Learn to stay long enough in His presence. I love the story where Joshua goes into the presence of God with Moses back in the Old Testament. When church was a tabernacle, it was a tent, and they walked in and they stayed in the presence, and Moses did his business with God and Joshua just quietly stood there learning the ropes. He was yet to take over as the leader. And then Moses left and Joshua just stayed a little longer. He lingered in the presence of the Lord. Now, some of you know I spent some time in a monastery last year, around about just the end of September, October last year. And that was a very unusual experience. But one of the things I learned is just to take some time in the presence of God. And in the monastery, they had a little garden at the end of that, a little waterfall. And that morning, it was an autumn morning and the sun was up, but it was behind the trees and the shade covered the area. So it was a little bit chilly. But I sat on this rock and I watched nature around me and I just was thankful to God. I was just praying but I was thanking God. I was listing things. I was thankful. I was thankful for my family. I was thankful for my church. I was thankful for the people I do life with, the community, I do life with you. I was thankful for you. I was thankful for my children. I was thankful for my health. And I was feeling a little bit chilly and I was thinking I'm going to go a little bit more. And I thought, no, I'm just going to wait because I'm going to wait until the sun rises above this tree, and I was in the shadow of that tree. I could have rushed on, but I didn't. I waited, and slowly the sun came from behind the tree, and that warmth hit me. Now, it wasn't a Spanish holiday sun, it was a British autumn sun, but compared to the shadow that I was in, the warmth was just shining all over me. It was wonderful. And I'm like, do you know what? Sometimes we just have to linger long enough for the presence of God, for His face to shine upon us. Do you know what? You're living in the shadow right now. You're living in a painful moment. You're living with an obstacle in front of you. Our God is bigger. Let the sun rise above that obstacle. Linger in His presence long enough for the sun to shine upon you. Do you know what? It's there. If we remain in Him, joy will be produced within us. But you can get the removal company in. You can get joyremovalcompany.com to come into your world. You know, you invite them in and they carefully wrap our belongings to move them away, these removal companies. You don't have to do anything except invite them in and pay them. Here's these two things, permission and price. If you give permission to the Joy Removal Company, they will come in and they will remove your joy. You can have a culture, a can't do culture can come in, move in and just gently wrap up all your joyful moments and just take them away. A can't do culture turns very quickly to a won't do culture. I remember the ladies coming back from Belarus and they were on the train in Belarus or the subway. And I remember them telling the story and they were just laughing together. But the culture around them says, you're not allowed to laugh on this train. There's a culture that says you can't do this. And it can destroy your joy. It can steal your joy. It can take it away from you. A religious attitude can come in and steal your joy. What you do becomes more important than why you do it. Like, I tell you what, you can make sure, even in your front room today, you can turn it into a worship experience. Circumstances can be like a removal company that steal our joy. The current COVID-19 affair anesthetizes our faith. Do you know, God is still bigger. He's still stronger. And let me tell you, our best days are still ahead of us. Do not throw away your faith. Don't throw it away. Don't allow the Joy Removal Company to come into your life. These circumstances to steal your joy. I'd let faith arise in you. Don't allow fear to come into your life. Fear turns your sonship into slavery. Romans 8 verse 15 says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you can live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. You know, when you're living in fear, the joy disappears. It makes you a slave to the circumstance you're in. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're a son, not a slave. You are a daughter, not a domestic. Disunity and bitterness, all these things can come in. The Joy Removal Company comes and wraps your joy in these issues of disunity, bitterness, fear, circumstances, and can't do culture. Resist. Do not give permission to the Joy Removal Company. Otherwise, you will pay the price. And they will remove your joy from your life. Lastly, joy is a fruit. And when it comes to fruit, you need to do two things. Number one, eat the flesh like a juicy pear. Enjoy the moment. Choose to see the joy in the moment that you're in. Choose to be thankful in the moment you're in. Just last year, my dad was very unhealthy. In fact, he was dying. And so family meals became very, very important. And there we are sitting around the table, my wife and my children, and my mum, my dad, John, Louise, and Cole and Eliza, we're all sitting around the table. And typical, a Jarvis, at Jarvis mealtime is a little bit mayhem. Loads of stories. I swear we have some Italian blood in us as we're telling stories, and there's lots of noise, and there's plenty to eat, there's plenty to drink. And all this mayhem was going on, and I just caught my father's eye. And there he was, just enjoying the moment. He was enjoying the family. He was enjoying the fruitful moment there in front of him. He was happy. His family was around him. And there we were, just being ourselves. And it brought a huge smile to his face. Eat the flesh like a juicy pear. Enjoy the moment. The second thing, if joy is a fruit, then plant the seed. Be generous. Remember, we get to give. Be generous with your words. Be generous with your wealth. And be generous with your ways. Let me tell you something. If you've allowed that removal company to come into your life and steal your joy, kick them out. Just tell them to stop what you're doing and get out the house. Kick them out the house. I do not mourn. Even if you realize you've made a mistake, come to Jesus right now. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. If we've just wandered off the path, just get back on the path. Get on the path right now and invite Jesus into your life, into your conversation, into your world. Do not weep and mourn, because this is a day to recognize the joy of the Lord is your strength. Live big.